America leads the world in medicine development. It matters. We get new medicines first, nearly 3 years faster. 5 million Americans go to work because we make medicines here at home. And not relying on other countries keeps us safe. But China is racing to overtake us. Will we let them, or will we choose to stay ahead? When America leads, America cures. Let's tell Washington to keep us in the lead.
Learn how at americacures.com. Paid for by Pharma.
Episode of Inside Boxing Live presented by PPV.com. It is Dan Canobio. It is former world champion Chris Algieri, and we're closing in on Chris Algieri. 10 years since you hoisted that strap up in the air at Barclays Center. The day before Father's Day, I was there with my dad. I posted something on Instagram. I can show the world that I was there. And I had you winning, Chris. World champion, June 14th, 2014.
Time flies, man. It's crazy. I was talking to Lamont Roach yesterday, Lamont Roach Jr., because he's fighting on a Pro Box Championship card in December in a couple weeks. And we had him, you know, we're interviewing him. And he's like, man, he's like, I watched your fight with Provanikov. And he's like talking to his dad. And he's like, I was like, oh, yo, that was 10 years ago this month. And he goes, what? And I'm like, yeah, man. Time flies.
It's scary. Scary time is flying. We'll be in Vegas on June 14th for Tank versus Frank. You can watch that fight on PPV.com. PPV.com is our presenting sponsor. Stream the fights on your phone, tablet, any device, big screen TV. Take it on the go. Take it in the car. Take it anywhere. And order with us. We'll have a link in our bio on YouTube. We'll have a link on iTunes, everywhere. There's a way to order this fight. We're heading to Vegas next week. I fly out on Wednesday. Chris will be joining shortly after that. We have a whole week of content planned for you. We're going to give away pay-per-views, the usual. By now, if you're watching this show for a while now, you know how great PPV is to us and how great they are to you, giving away pay-per-views. If you're new to the show, welcome aboard. Where you been? And also, PPV.com does a great job putting on the fights, and the streams are clear as crystal clear. No subscriptions. Never going to ask you for a subscription. I'll actually be with the PPV people, Chris. I'm heading to the BWAA dinner. This weekend. Naoya Inoue is getting recognized as Fighter of the Year. I want to shake his hand. Amanda Serrano is getting recognized. I'll be at the PPV dinner table alongside Bob Canobio. We'll also be making a rare appearance in Manhattan. Thank you to PPV. Yeah, Bob's the man.
I can't call him the Bob Father because that's Aram, but
right,
Bob.
We call him around my parts. We call him the Kahuna, Big Kahuna,
Big Kahuna. I like that one.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah. Big. He's Kahuna. The patriarch nice. of the Canobio family. So yeah, this episode we're going to talk a little about the 5v5. Oscar De La Hoya put out his own one. He also went live on Instagram the other night from his palatial estate in Vegas.
Palatial, good word.
Thank you. You know what I was thinking? Like, you're in this fighter fraternity, and so is Oscar. And just like when I see the fruits of your guys' labor, like, you have a beautiful home, you have a beautiful life, Chris. You have a beautiful car, you have a beautiful dog. And like, it's cool to see the fruits of the labor of these boxers. Like, Oscar showing his house and like in Las Vegas, and just like what he's doing now is just like being a crazy promoter with his hot, whatever she is, girlfriend. It's just so funny to watch, like, the legends now in the afterlife of boxing.
Yeah, I saw that he was 51 years old yesterday, and I was like, wow. Like,
he's got abs, though.
He looks great. He was always, like, ridiculously model handsome, but he's aged well. He's still a very handsome guy, well-dressed guy. I was like, do you remember somebody young? I'm like, do you remember what this guy was? And, you know, I rattled off all these fights, and they were like, oh, no, I got to go back and watch. I'm like, yeah, you do. You got to understand, this man was an absolute machine, unbeatable under 140. 140 and under, I mean, forget it. Absolute machine. What a heyday he had. But, he's living the fruits of that labor. He toiled long and hard for a very long time, and he's a super talented guy. And he parlayed it very well.
Yeah, he carried the sport post-Tyson. There's always like a, you know, there's going to be a post-Canelo era soon. Like, he's getting up there in age. There's always a post Ali.
Well, there was post Floyd until Canelo was mature enough to take it.
Right. Right. Like, Andre Ward had it for a little bit, but he wasn't the most charismatic figure. But there was the post Ali, and it went to Sugar Ray Leonard. Then from Leonard, it went to Tyson. Then from Tyson, it went to De La Hoya, Pacquiao, Mayweather. And then from Mayweather, it went to Canelo. And Canelo's, you know, he's getting up there in age. So I'm curious who's going to carry that mantle from that. You know, I wasn't planning on getting into this, but it's something that always that you talk about in the boxing world. But the reason I bring up Oscar is because he put out a little feeler on Instagram. He loves to do this. He loves to tease. He loves to get the masses riled up. Says, I have a big announcement for all my haters out there, which I just think is so funny. You can love him or you can hate him. That's the beauty of Oscar. He doesn't give a shit anymore. He doesn't care. Like you said, 51. He's got this house in freaking Vegas. He's got the girl.
He's got fake abs. He's got a beautiful house. He's got a young, hot lady. Like he doesn't care.
I personally find him hilarious. Sometimes I roll my eyes because I get annoyed. Like I didn't watch his full live on Instagram, but I put it on for like 5 seconds and he's like, Eddie Hearn and Matchroom, they don't have a big enough stable to do a 5-on-5. And I'm like, bro, Golden Boy doesn't have a big enough stable to do a 5-on-5. Like, how could you just be so bold and brazen to say that? Like, it's so funny how these promoters talk. Like, they just lie and they just project. Well, but
it's like American politics. It's the same thing. Yes. You don't have to tell the truth.
And they get away with everything, just like politicians. It's absolutely insane. But the reason I'm bringing up Oscar De La Hoya to open up our show is because he's flirting with a 5-on-5 with Top Rank. He has a great relationship with Top Rank. He looks at Bob Arum still as a mentor. When I caught up with Oscar at the Ryan fight, I had him say one nice thing about every promoter. He had nothing nice to say about Hearn, Frank Warren, Al Heyman, but he lit up when I brought up Bob Arum. So he's putting out a Top Rank versus Golden Boy 5-on-5. Obviously, these 5-on-5 is the hot topic now, Chris, because if Matchroom and Queensberry do it and it gains some attention, then all the other promoters have to do it.
But
and
also, it went really well. The fights are also went really well for Warren. But either way, even though, you know, Eddie got shut out, it was still an excellent night of fights. I mean, fantastic, fantastic show.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, like we were a little skeptical heading in. I thought it was going to be just a good card in terms of like the fights. I was always looking at the 5-on-5 aspect of it. As a kind of a sideshow, but it actually was fun. Like, I actually think we're going to get more of these because
even the stupid in the ring with both promoters doing the standoff, I kind of liked it. It was corny, but I was like, I'm like, ah, man, look at this. And then I'm watching, I'm like, and the things that they said back and forth, and Frank Warren said, he was like, I'm going to sweep this. I don't know. In hindsight, I was like, you know what? This has got legs. I like it.
Well, here's the thing. I don't see Arum like cooperating as much as Warren and Hearn did. I see Arum be like, what do you want me to do? I got to stare down. That's a horrible Arum. I used to have a really good Arum. You want me to stare down?
You can't awesome. Have Bob do that. And I don't think anyone's going to stare down Bob. There's just too much respect in the sport. No one would want to do that. So
I think it would be worth worth them doing this just to see Oscar have a stare down with Arum and Arum.
They would embrace that. That's a whole different thing. They have their past, but there is love between those two.
All right. So let's just say that this 5v5 is going to take off here in the States. There's a lot that goes into it because there's a lot of egos. There's a lot of money. You don't have Turkey involved.
A lot of contracts,
but Oscar did tag Turkey in it. Did put the Riyadh season logo in it. So he knows enough that I'm going to need some help with this. Did you make one? Because I have one too. Like, there's one floating around. Let's go.
Oh, so I didn't look up if there was one out there. This is not easy to do because
it's not at all.
You got to compare rosters. Yeah. I had to literally go through the entire roster of all three companies and write down on the all the viable guys.
I went to the website because like I kind of know off the top of my head where these guys are. It's just kind of like a nerdy boxing thing to know like what fighter is aligned with what promotion. There's one floating around online, and I'd like to see if it's similar to yours. So let me hear yours, Top Rank Golden Boy, and then I'll let you know what this one I saw.
Top Rank versus Golden. Okay, so I have three different lists. Number one, and I have options too, but I wasn't looking at it like. Not even best versus best because I don't have a dog in the race. So I was looking at fights that I thought what I would like to see kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So that's my preface. Tio and Ramirez, Teofimo and Jose JC Ramirez. Right. I think that's a good fight that's had a long time making, and I think stylistically it matches up well, body types and everything. I think it's a good fight. I don't know how much at 140, correct? Mumbili and Munguia. Fun fight at 68. Very, very fun fight. Competitive fight, action packed fight, like it. Shakur and Zepeda. I think Zepeda pushes Shakur in ways that I think we need to see. Xander Zayas and Victor Ortiz. It's very early in Xander's career, but there's not a lot of 54 pounders in Top Rank. And I got to see Victor Ortiz fight. Virgil Ortiz. I love Virgil Ortiz, so I got to see him fight. And then lastly, a weird one. Jared Anderson, Gilberto Ramirez moves up to heavy for a heavy fight.
Chris, weren't you a promoter for like a day?
I have promoter's license in New York. I did promote a show. I co-promoted a show with Lou DeBella.
I was there, and I was working. It's a good show. I interviewed you. Yes. I came up on my phone. You know how your phone just like sometimes will send you like the saddest montage ever? Or sometimes your iPhone will make you a really cool memory. And it showed me like I was interviewing you like in Terminal 5. You were like
Terminal 5. It was a great venue. Really cool venue.
You were a promoter. You were promoting the show. And I remember that. Yeah, that's before we even did this. And I was like, damn, this guy, Algieri, he's fighting. He's promoting. He's a manager. He's a nutritionist. I was like, this guy's
I ended up fighting a guy on the card that Mikel LaPierre.
Yeah.
He fought on the card, had a good win that night. And then I think his next fight was me.
That's right.
Which I did not pick, obviously.
Too.
But.
I was there for that too, and I count you threw over 1,000 punches. Oh, we got a contact high that day. That was the Triller show, right?
Yeah, the Triller show. You hung out after, right, and watched the rap song.
Yeah. So the side story on that is we go to this Triller thing. It's like the first fight back in New York after COVID. This is when they were doing the versus after the fights, which I thought was such a cool thing. Jadakiss Lalox versus Dipset was later that night, but also like the fight started at like 3 p.m. Like you fought towards the end of the card, and they had me and my dad for a CompuBox. They had us like up a little bit. We were on like a riser, like with the
so you get the smoke,
on.
Which is like the perfect level to get stoned,
bro. So as the night gets later and later, the versus crowd starts coming in,
yeah,
and they start just lighting up left and right. So all of a sudden we're in there and we're smelling it, and then we're in the top of the building essentially, and it's wafting up to me and my dad, and I look over like and I'm like. Are you stoned? Because I feel like I'm high right now. And me and my dad are just like giggling and laughing. And I'm just like, it's the end of the show. We weren't working anymore. And I was like, oh my God, like this is amazing. And then they took the ropes down. Buffer gets into the middle of the ring, introduces Jadakiss and Cameron and Dipset. And then we had a whole night. I was hanging out with Busta Rhymes. Like it was the first fight back from COVID. And now obviously they're like defunct. Like I'm pretty sure the Triller guy is like, getting sued left and right, the Ryan Kavanaugh guy.
Oh, Kavanaugh, yeah.
You got his money though. That's good.
Yeah, I got a very nice check that night. Put it that way.
Love that. That's what boxing's all about. Just get the money while you can.
Get it while you can.
Get it while you can because it might not last. I love this card that you put together. The Jared Anderson Gilberto is a curveball that I like because I think Gilberto's probably. You know, he'll go to heavyweight at some point. I know he wants to fight.
I think he's big enough, and I think Jared's small enough. So it's just tough because Jared's so athletic. But I think Gilberto is so technical that it actually could work.
Zayas versus Virgil Ortiz. Like, Zayas, we're going to talk about him in a little bit. He's 21 years old. He's has 18 fights. Like, he is ready. I don't think he's ready for Virgil just yet. I understand this is an exercise we're doing to make a fun night. But he's getting close. I mean, he's ranked top 10-ish by every organization.
That fight in a couple of years is gangbusters. I think right now it's a little early, like you said. But in a couple of years, that could be a really good fight.
Yeah, we'll talk a lot more Zayas because I'm curious what his ceiling is weight-wise. I love that fight. Teofimo versus Ramirez is a fight that we've wanted for years. A little late, but we'll get it.
Good workman-like fight.
Exactly. Mabili Munguia is an absolute shootout.
Fun.
And just Shakur Zepeda is perfect stylistic matchup.
Yep.
So that's like, it's a lot of money, and it's a lot. Like, if we're going through, like, the actual logistics of this, and we're trying to pour some cold water on it. But it's a fun-ass card.
Is it that much
card.
Money, though, Dan? Like, compared to the heavyweights who fought this weekend? I don't know.
Teofimo has a price. That guy...
Ramirez does too.
Ramirez does too. He's turned down million-dollar paychecks a few times.
Munguia
fought Canelo. Mabili doesn't. Shakur kind of does. Zepeda, I feel like, will play ball. I don't know. I'm also just like,
assuming. Yeah, so you're spitballing here.
Yeah, all these guys want to get paid. Like, come on. We're not lowering the value of any of these guys. Like, if anything, we should be increasing the value of these fighters.
I guess we shouldn't worry about the money. Again,
I don't care.
This is a thought experiment anyway.
Right. Good point. I like that card. Here is what's floating around on the interwebs. Teofimo versus Ryan Garcia. I don't know what weight that's at. I don't believe Ryan Garcia ever fights below 154. He has a drug suspension looming over him. But once again, this is a thought exercise.
I was trying to find Ryan in there because, you know, it's Ryan and putting away all those other things. But I didn't find any matchups that were truly appealing. So
it's Teofimo Ryan is the fight that we all want to see when
they're
thought
different
Ryan Garcia.
Humans. Doesn't make sense.
Right. When we thought Ryan Garcia was a 140 pounder, we thought he was a 135 pounder. He is a 160 pounder. He is a heavyweight. You can put him in there with Gilberto Ramirez. He is huge. And he's just such a wild card, but that's just like a fun one where that could be like headline the card. Teofimo Ryan Garcia, if they could find a catch weight, who knows? Mabili Munguia is on this one that's floating around, which is mm-hmm. awesome fight. Lomachenko versus Zepeda. So whoever made this list put Lomachenko in instead of Shakur. Considering
I put Lomachenko on the next 5-on-5.
Gotcha. Lomachenko, Zepeda, Shakur, Zepeda, Zepeda, Shakur. And all those fights are fun at that 135. There's plenty of options there. Lindolfo Delgado versus Arnold Barboza.
Good
not
fight.
Really. It's a good fight. That's the first fight of the night. Good fight. Get that out of the way.
Not scintillating. Not like... No one's chomping at the bit for that fight.
Right. Barboza is a unanimous decision merchant at this point, and I thought he lost his last fight. Abdullah Mason versus Floyd Schofield.
Early on, yeah. I mean,
early on. That's the first
good fight. That's a good fun fight.
The only problem with this experiment with Top Rank is Naoya Inoue is pound-for-pound number one fighter in the world, in my honest, humble opinion. But there's no one for him. Right now.
And that was one thing I realized going through these lists. All these promoters do something that we all know that they do, us insiders know, is that they stack their weight classes. So like they all have the same guys in the same weight classes. So when you're comparing each other, they kind of dominate, like, you know, Top Rank dominates 135. You know, there's not a ton of 35 pounders and for Golden Boy, you know. And you know, some of the heavier fighters are in PBC and whatnot. So it is tough to do it over here. That's one thing I think is different between Matchroom and Frank Warren and the promotions over here. We're so close to each other. We all fight in the same venues. We're all like, you know, like really tight knit. They have really big stables over there, and guys, they basically have every fighter that's over there. We, you know, over here, we have to split everybody up. So
that's a good point.
You know, so I think it's harder to make these 5-on-5s over here than it is over there.
So, good point, number one. Number two, Bruce Carrington's fighting this weekend, and he's using this fight week to not really talk about his opponent, but to talk about Naoya Inoue. He has his whole mindset on fighting Inoue one day at featherweight. If Inoue moves up to featherweight, which he probably should in like a year or so, that's an all Top Rank fight. That wouldn't be a 5-on-5, but that's interesting, and that kind of intertwines with this week, this fight week and stuff, and but Inoue he's fighting, I think, Sam Goodman, who is like at the end of the year, I believe. That's Inoue's next fight. Obviously, everyone wants him to fight Gervonta Davis. I don't think that's going to happen. Inoue at 126, there's plenty of names at 126 for Inoue to fight at featherweight. Some bigger names, but he just doesn't fit into this Top Rank Golden Boy. And that's a shame because it's Naoya Inoue. Guy's a superstar. And I will shake his hand this week and chop it up with him. Cool. I'm really looking forward to that. Like I'm not in awe of any fighter, but I think he has a presence. Like I'm curious to see his aura.
He just looks like a cool dude.
I know, right?
I was thinking about that when he came into kind of Canelo has a similar air about him. Just a cool dude. I'll tell you this right now. I've been around Canelo a bunch. He's a super humble guy, and he's very. Maybe not humble is not the right word. He's like. He's down to earth. That's what I should say. He's actually down to earth. You wouldn't think that looking at him. But like if you're in a place where he's kind of got his guard down, he's just a really chill dude. And that, I think that comes across. I feel like Inoue probably similar. Like when he walked into the arena that last fight, I'm looking at this guy, I'm like, this guy's just cool. Like he's just a cool guy.
International superstar.
Yeah, he's just a cool guy.
I've heard a few things. I heard he has a big team, and he has a big team with him here in New York City. But I should be rubbing elbows with him at this party. So I'll definitely keep everyone posted on social media. All right, so that's Top Rank versus Golden Boy. I think either way, you mix together your card with the one that's floating out there. There is some fun fights here. Can it be done? Who knows? That's up to the promoters. I think Oscar really has his mind set on doing this. He put out September 14th. You know that there's some motives behind that. That's usually Canelo's fight day. Canelo hasn't really announced anything as of yet. So there's always a motive with Oscar. So that's another funny part of Oscar. He's very motive-driven. It usually involves Canelo, his ex-girlfriend, that is just constantly on top. It's amazing.
I couldn't get him in either. I was trying to get Canelo in these.
But who is he with?
PBC.
He's a free agent. Well, I made a Mexico versus USA. We'll get to that.
Oh, and I missed that one. I didn't do that one.
That's the best one because you don't have to have any promotional restraints. The better matchups, I think, are with PBC and Top Rank. Will Al Haymon come out of the relative obscurity and step into the ring? No, I'm not even going to think of Al Haymon. Imagine Al Haymon doing all the things that Eddie Hearn and Frank Juan were doing with the mic'd up and them writing love letters and putting it on Instagram and like to see Al Haymon do it. But PBC versus Top Rank. Now we're talking. Now we're cooking with gas here.
Yeah.
I'll give you mine. Yeah. And then, okay. Chris, then you can give me yours. Top of the bill. Tank versus Lomachenko.
Yep. Same.
Wanted it for years. We get it at 135.
I'm surprised you didn't go Shakur Tank, because I did the same thing. I went Loma Tank.
Oh, shit. Yeah. You could put Shakur in there, too. I'm operating maybe under the guise that Shakur is not going to be with Top Rank, but that's just straight up nerdy stuff.
I prefer Loma Tank anyway, though, honestly.
Right. Loma Tank, I think, is a way, stylistically better fight than Shakur right now. I still think Loma's got a little bit left in the gas tank, and Tank is Tank. Benavidez versus Beterbiev.
Nice.
175. Beterbiev. This is we're talking about a perfect world where Beterbiev's knees aren't cabbage and his elbows are working, and he is a beast because he still is. He's just getting a little up there in age. Benavidez at 175 is going to fight Bivol or Beterbiev. I'm pretty confident in that happening over the next year or two. So let's just do it for the sake of that. Let's have Benavidez fight Beterbiev. Naoya Inoue versus Bruce Carrington. I couldn't find anyone for Inoue at PBC. Maybe I got lazy and didn't look hard enough. That doesn't even make sense. Carrington's with Top Rank.
Yep.
Idiot, Dan. I just self-corrected myself. Only a four then. Oh, well. Mabili versus David Morrell at 168. I think Morrell would wash him, but it would be kind of fun stylistically to see Mabili, who fights like a madman, and then Morrell.
I think we would just see how good David Morrell is in that situation. He'd be like,
I just want to see Morrell. Like, get this guy in the ring, man. Mabili has a fight. He's fighting Derevchenko at the end of August.
That's a fun fight, too, by the way.
Good TV fight. Morrell has nothing on the schedule, which is upsetting. Gary Antoine Russell versus Teofimo.
Yeah. Yep.
Gary Russell, I believe, is coming back sometime soon. And he's really good. I mean, he's 100% knockout rate. He's just so inactive. Mm-hmm. And Teofimo is Teofimo. I don't have a fifth, so let's hear yours.
All right. So I missed the Beterbiev Benavidez fight somehow. So that's not on there. So I got Loma Tank, same thing. Mm. And I'm going to switch. I had Tio Russell as well, but I'm going to go Tio and Isak Cruz at 140.
I like that fight a lot.
And I'm going to switch. So I had Russell Tio. So I'm going to go Murataya and Russell.
Ooh.
Catch weight, 138-ish.
138.
Jared Anderson, Andy Ruiz. I think that's a fun crossroads fight. And then last, Luis Alberto Lopez versus Brandon Figueroa, 126.
That's a fucking fight right there.
That's fucking gangbusters right there.
That's a good card. I like how you always have to have a heavyweight on there. Like
I'm trying to get the heavyweights in there.
Right, you got to have heavyweights in there, but like all the heavyweights are overseas. Like Top Rank doesn't have Top Rank has
Dude, American heavyweights we've always been lacking, or at least, you know, in recent 20 years.
Right, especially with Wilder now gone. PBC doesn't really have a lot of heavyweights. Golden Boy doesn't have any heavyweights.
You know what it is, Dan? You know what it is, Dan? What? It's the American food system. We're just not making them as big anymore. No, they go to NFL. we're losing guys in the NFL.
Like crazy. I mean, if you're a guy, if you're a 6'5" kid.
Don't box.
Really? I was going to say, why not? Don't box. Like, you make way more money boxing than you're playing football.
It's a way longer road.
True.
And way longer road. And you're not going to get an education. 10. Dude, play football. You play for 3 years. You get a pension. Boxing sucks. Don't box.
No, it's really hard.
There's no pension. There's no insurance. You're not getting an education. There's just so many pitfalls.
What they see is the cream of the crop, the 1% Tyson Furies, the Usyks, the Wilders, who are making the top dollar, but majority don't make that top dollar. And getting back into money talk. I like that. PBC Top Rank, I feel like, have the deepest stables of the two of the American fight scene. There's probably so many more that we can make. We probably left some out. If you want one, put some in. Go into the comment section. We got to get Inoue figured out. There's got to be someone on the PBC side at 120. I guess if 126, Inoue could fight Figueroa.
He could, but he's got to go up once again. And I like that fight. I think that fight's going to happen eventually. I actually love that fight. I think stylistically it really makes a lot of sense. I know Luis Alberto Lopez is waiting for Inoue to come up to 26, but I know he's having trouble making weight, so he's probably not going to hang out and make it. But Figueroa makes a lot of sense. But I don't want to push Inoue up another weight class already.
This is a fun exercise because it's just such a nerdy boxing thing, and we have such great listeners that would appreciate this. All right, the last one is probably the biggest pie in the sky one because it doesn't involve any promoters. It's just fun. Mexico versus USA, 5v5, headlined Canelo and Crawford. Got to do that. USA versus Mexico, 168, I guess. Jaime Munguia versus Caleb Plant.
Yep, good fight.
Love that fight. I would like to see that fight regardless of this 5-on-5. Shakur versus Isaac Cruz.
Good fight.
USA. Fight. At 140, let's just say Shakur moves up. Brandon Figueroa versus Luis Alberto Lopez, which you just had on your PBC Top Rank.
Mm-hmm. Good fight.
I guess Figueroa is technically, he is a U.S.-born. Alberto is
a Mexican American, and Alberto is Lopez is a national Mexican.
Stephen Fulton versus Luis Neri.
Fun
fight.
I like that fight.
This doesn't sizzle.
Rematch.
Top of it, it's top heavy. The top of
they
it
fought
is,
right. Is that a rematch or no?
They did fight. I don't know. Let's see. Stephen Fulton. Stephen Fulton needs to get in the ring, man. He hasn't fought since Inoue.
He's good, man.
He was supposed to fight in the June 15 card, and his opponent pulled out. He never fought.
Neri lost to Figueroa. That's right. They deserve the fight.
They do. It's a little round robin over there at 126. All right. Yeah, that's our 5-on-5s. It's the hot topic.
Well, no, we didn't do Golden Boy and PBC.
Did you make a list for that? Because I didn't make one.
I did.
Oh, let's hear yours. This guy came prepared. This guy came with the yellow steno notepad. I love that. All right, so this is Golden Boy
versus PBC.
Oh, my God.
So I got Ryan Garcia versus Rashidi Ellis at 147.
Wow. That is some matchmaking.
I think it's two super fast guys. I think it'd be fun.
Speedy Ellis.
Speed versus speed. I like that matchup. Virgil Ortiz versus Terrence Crawford at 154.
Oh yeah, I mean, fun fight on me. Bring me that immediately.
Yep. Conwell versus Spence. I think it's a good fight back for Spence. Conwell trying to make a name for himself. I think stylistically they can match up. Conwell's a much shorter guy, but he comes in and bangs. Spence likes to meet you in the middle at this stage of his career anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Munguia versus Plant, Morel, or Benavidez.
Right. Whoever's available.
Any of those.
Whoever answers the phone first.
Yes. And what did I have? PBC. I'm trying to think I just put Cruz and Ramirez, and there's so many guys on both sides. I'm confused.
Cruz and Ramirez. Whenever, when all else fails, just throw out a Cruz and a Ramirez. That reminds me of that one time. You know, like Caleb Presley from Barstool. He does the Sunday conversations. He's got the long blonde hair.
No.
He's hilarious. This was like 5 years ago. I was at some PBC like press conference upfront thing, and he didn't know shit about boxing, but he was there to like do stupid, like do be annoying and like kind of like be a nuisance. So he's going up to like every fighter and saying, "What do you think about Ramirez?" And they were like, "What do you mean?" He's like, "What do you think about Ramirez? Think he's got a chance?" He brought a scale and he tried to get fighters to step on it.
Oh yeah, good luck with that.
Bro, he didn't know who Deontay Wilder was, and Wilder was so pissed. Wilder got in his face. And I was the fucked up part is I was the next person on the line of interviews.
So you just pissed everybody off for you to talk to?
Yes. So he would some people thought I was with him. So like the fighters would go from being pissed off, then they'd go to me and they'd just be angry. And I'd be like, no, I'm here to ask like real questions. This is like when I first started. I'm a real journalist, and I had to ask him some like nerdy questions. But Ramirez versus Cruz. Dude, what do you
JC Ramirez and Isak Cruz. I figured it out. Okay. I won 40.
Okay.
I think seeing him in the ring together would be funny because Ramirez is so tall and Cruz is so short. But I think
Still care about Ryan Garcia versus Rolly?
What weight though? Rolly's a small 40.
I think Ellis. I thought Ellis. He just gotten like the raw end of the stick here.
Yes,
that the phrase. End of the stick. What the hell is that?
I don't know. You would think you talk for a living. You think you know these little.
My brother makes fun of me all the time when I don't make the right words. He's like, "You're a broadcaster, Rashidi Ellis." He's like, "Are you kidding me, Dan?" 24-1. He had that controversial. He hasn't fought since last January. Roman Villa, which I thought Ellis won.
So yeah, super close fight.
Then he changed promoters. Bro, boxing is brutal.
Boxing is brutal.
Definitely play better.
Talented guy though, and super fast. I thought speed versus speed with Ryan and him. So
I like it.
That was my thought.
Fun exercise. I think we're gonna see more 5v5s. It's the hot thing in boxing right now. Once one promoter does it, they all want to hop on board. It's a fun concept. We will see another one.
Especially when it works. Promoters want to do it.
Right. I think we're definitely going to see another one between Queensberry and Matchroom because they got the funding, and that shit's going to keep happening. Will it happen in the U.S. will remain to be seen. I actually think it's fun. If they do one later this year, it just adds to what has been an awesome year in the boxing world where we're getting the fights we want to see. We're getting new formats. It's just like an unbelievable time, like an embarrassment of riches for boxing fans. Let's get into this weekend's fights, Chris. It's a twofer on ESPN presented by Top Rank. Stay up late because this one is starting at 11 p.m. is when the co-main event starts. And that's not a Top Rank thing. That's an ESPN thing. They are the ones that pick what time they go on. That's greatly decreasing my chances of actually going to this fight. I might go. I might not. I like to get to bed early. I'm going to the Yankees-Dodgers game Sunday. We have to record our show Sunday. Got a lot going on.
That's cool.
Yeah, I don't think anyone cares.
Yankees-Dodgers, that's cool.
Dude, it's a hot ticket. That's cool. Yankees and Dodgers are the two best teams in baseball. That's going
to
be
awesome. When I come up next, we got to go to a game. I miss going to games. Yankees.
Hell yeah, bro. I'm going. The Yankees are the best team in baseball right now. They're like Soto and Judge are generational, and it's like the hottest ticket.
I don't have my Yankee hat on me right now. I got it's in the closet over there, but
I got some Yankee stuff all over the place. But yeah, we will we'll definitely do that.
This is a Yankees podcast, by the way, guys.
I used to fucking host a Yankees podcast at John Boy Media.
This is a Yankees podcast over here, guys. Just in case.
Damn right. Wondering. I used to host one.
You're a Rangers guy, right?
I dabble. I'm not a hockey guy, but I was on board the bandwagon when they got just smoked by your Florida Panthers.
So I'm an Islanders guy. So once they lost, I go Panthers because I was rooting for Panthers versus Rangers, which I know I get a lot of shit for. Oh, you're from New York. Man, fuck the Rangers.
Well, here's the thing. Like, we're from Long Island. We don't have a team. We should all be Islander fans if you think about it. It's literally a team called the Islanders, and I could care less because it's hockey, and I just don't care about hockey.
I like playoff hockey. I think it's a lot of fun to watch.
Oh, it's awesome for sure. All right, Xander Zayas is getting in the ring this weekend against Patrick Teixeira, former 154-pound champion for a very brief time. It's just all about Zayas, though. He's 18 years old. He was the youngest signee of Top Rank. They've been building him up methodically. This is a case of Top Rank's matchmaking at its finest. Just slowly building Zayas up. Every fight, they introduce a new wrinkle to him and his opponents, and he solved it every single time. I'm very high on Zayas. I think he's popular. I think he's carrying that mantle now of Top Rank's Puerto Rican Day Parade. This is his first headliner at MSG, especially on this weekend. You know what this weekend means if you're a boxing fan, from Tito Trinidad to Miguel Cotto, who had it for years. They wanted it to be Verdejo. Obviously, that ain't happening. They wanted it to be Berlanga. That ain't happening either. So it's Xander Zayas, ranked fourth by the WBO, which is pretty much in bed with Top Rank. Seventh by the WBC, 13th by the IBF. He's gotten better, Chris. He's gotten better every single time he steps in there. I am impressed with Xander Zayas.
Yeah, he's been coming for this title as the Top Rank Puerto Rican Day Parade headliner for quite some time. He was right on the heels of Berlanga. Berlanga had some underwhelming performances with Top Rank. Left them. He's no longer that Puerto Rican Day Parade guy. Xander is now that guy.
He bit a man and then got cut.
Yeah. So now Xander steps in. I think rightfully so. Yes, he's very, very young. Yes, Top Rank is picking the right fights for him. But as you said, he is getting better and he performs every time. And I think he's performing better each and every time, even with the step ups. And I actually think that's going to happen again this weekend. I think he's fighting a guy with a ton of experience and who's scrappy and very tough. I actually called the fight when he beat Carlos Adames and became a world champion.
Crazy.
A number of years ago. He just outfought Adames that night. It was interesting. So, but I think that he hasn't been at 54 in such a long time. He's going to struggle to make the weight. I think Xander is streaking. I've been in the gym with Xander. I've sparred with Xander. I've seen his work ethic. I understand what he does in the gym and how he lives his lifestyle. I think this kid is the goods from top to bottom.
What do you like about him in terms of being in the ring with him? Like, for me, I just see he puts together his combinations so crisp.
Yep.
He's got a lot of speed, got a lot of power.
It's focus for me. He fights very, very focused. He fights hard. He fights aggressive. He fights behind the jab. He lets his hands go. He trusts himself to throw combinations in front of guys, even when they're dangerous. But for me, he stays so locked in. Very much like most really good Puerto Rican fighters fight. They fight very locked in. You think about Miguel Cotto. You think about Felix Trinidad. Very, very locked in, tight hand position, stepping in, trusting themselves and throwing with power, especially with the left hands. Very, very Puerto Rican in his style. But I think he's a little more athletic than those guys. You know, he's got a great build. Massive for the weight, growing all the time. I used to call him the incredible growing boy because he was really young when I met him. And every time I saw him, he was bigger. And so I think that there's a lot of upside with this kid. And number one, it's just what I see in the gym with him, just the discipline and the work ethic and the way that he lives his life. So he lives the champion lifestyle. So that's why I've been really big behind him. I actually pushed him onto a couple of my sponsors over there too. I've never handed any other fighters to any of my other sponsorships before, because I don't trust guys to live that lifestyle that I did, but Xander does. So
when are you gonna push some of these sponsors to me?
Again, I don't trust your lifestyle. So
bro, you know I'm going on like 2 months straight of working out.
Yeah, it's 2 months, bro. We got a long way to go.
Now I'm ready for the PEDs. I'm ready for the needles.
No. We said we're going natural this summer.
Natural
to September.
I just ordered creatine.
Creatine, that's natural. We're fine. We're good.
Yeah, I'm excited. I think it's actually at my doorstep. After this, I'm going to load up on some creatine.
Go start pounding that. But take a full bottle of water like this and just put 10 grams and sip it throughout the day.
Amino acid type of stuff to put into it too, right? To flavor it. My brother Nick told me to do that.
Some aminos?
Yeah. Liquid. To kind of flavor it?
Yeah.
Other than just putting like in like a Dasani, just like
flavor. I mean, you won't really taste. The creatine doesn't have a flavor. It's an unflavored. It's a little grainy, a little bit. But other than that, there's not really a flavor to it.
Love that. So Zayas is a -1600 favorite.
Yikes.
Teixeira is a +900 underdog. We just talked a little bit about Teixeira. Over under is 8.5 rounds. This is all according to DraftKings Sportsbook. Zayas by KO is what Vegas thinks. That's -150. Zayas to go the full distance, I'd be shocked if it goes the distance, is +140. I like this Zayas kid. I like to hear what you just said about him living that lifestyle. You could just see it written all over his face if you ever talk to him. He just seems like he's got his head on his shoulders. He's been with Top Rank since he was 16, and has not had any trip ups outside of the ring. Seems like a great kid, and also like has that Puerto Rico behind him. You know, I didn't feel like Puerto Rico was fully behind Berlanga, and I could be wrong there. No one's ever going to capture Puerto Rico kind of like Trinidad did. But there is a different type of roar in the crowd that I hear for Zayas. When I've seen him at MSG, he's fought on the undercard on these fight weekends. He was there last year.
He's a real Puerto Rican. He's not a New Yorker. He's not one of these guys.
No, he lives there.
Yeah, he's not one of those guys who doesn't speak Spanish. He's not, you know, I think he fought for the national team. You know, his native language, his native tongue is Spanish. He is a real true Puerto Rican. Again, not a New Yorker. It's more in the line of the breed of Canelo. I'm sorry, of Cotto and Trinidad.
Right, Cotto and Trinidad are to me are the top, cream of the crop.
Yeah.
Can Zayas get to that level? It's there for him. But I do think that the fans are invested in him. Top Rank's obviously invested in him. I'm really excited to see where he can take this.
I think he can be in line with those guys. I believe he has the ability. I believe that he's being moved properly. And going back to work ethic, which Cotto had too, very, very dialed in guy. You know, Tito had it obviously because of his father. But these guys are, you know, I look at him in the same vein.
Right. And will he be a world champion? I think they're going to start angling towards that. They're going to start moving him along, like you said, seventh by the WBO. It could even be lower than that. Fourth by the WBO.
So he's fighting a former world champion right now. So,
yeah, let's get over to Shera. Beat a Carlos Adames, like you said, that was 2019. Short-lived champ because he then fought, who did he fight? Castaño. Castaño won that fight, then Castaño went out to fight Charlo for all the belts. Three straight losses after the Castaño loss. Kind of slipped, fell. But then three straight wins after the three straight losses, all inside of four rounds. All of them in Brazil, though. Mm-hmm. And there's another catch to this, Chris. He weighed 167, 159, and 164 in those three fights where he won inside of four rounds. This fight is at 154 pounds. He has not fought at 154 since July of 2022. I don't like that at all.
He's a big guy, too. He's tall.
He's big. He's up there. He's 33 years old. I can't get those three losses are sticking out to me in a row.
I'm looking at his Boxrec photo. He's 33, but he looks 43.
He's got that mustache going.
That's not what I'm looking at. It's his skin. He just looks like an old kind of beat up guy.
Skin and the mustache. Bad combination. Hopefully puts up some resistance. I want to see Zayas pushed a little bit, but this is tailor-made for Zayas in terms of style, tailor-made to say, hey, I just beat a former champion, tailor-made for the stage of Puerto Rican Day Parade. Love it. Good move by Top Rank doing this fight. I think Zayas will win, and he'll get a stoppage. Bruce Carrington is the co-main event. Shushu Carrington, who I could not believe is 27 years old. I legit thought this kid was 21. Like, I never heard of him beforehand or did, but not like that. Like he came on the scene, really burst on the scene like 2 or 3 years ago where Top Rank was putting him on these cards. 27 years old. You got to start moving this guy. He's talking about Inoue. He's fighting Enrique Vivas, who has never been stopped.
Enrique Vivas is tough. I've called some of his fights for Top Rank. Very, very tough.
Yeah. So this is like for Carrington to win and say, hey, I stopped a guy that's never been stopped before. He's going to bring up Inoue's name, I think, in the post-fight. He's coming off of a spectacular knockout in his last fight. I was there, Bernard Torres. It was just like a one-punch out of nowhere type of punch. Kid's got the best personality, great head on his shoulders. Love talking to him. I'm just like, okay, what are we doing here? 27. He's not a kid by any means. He only has 11 fights. He hasn't fought anybody. What's the deal with Bruce Carrington?
I mean, it's weird that he's 27, like you said, and he's been around boxing forever, like a high-level, national-level guy in the New York circuit, and only having 11 fights at this point. It's kind of like, all right, time, we got to move. I know he's calling out in a way, but he hasn't really fought anybody either. This is a nice step up fight, and it's actually a kind of fight that you're looking at. Yeah, 12 pro fight against a guy like Vivas, who's a little long in the tooth. He's been in some real tough fights and wars. Got to see how much that's affected him. So that kind of fight makes sense. But when you're calling out guys like Inoue and you're fighting the Enrique Vivases of the world in 12 fights, I mean, you really got to kind of put things into perspective. I think he needs to fight some guys who are closer to higher rankings before you can start talking about that kind of stuff. But listen, it's good to have a dream. You got to dream high. You got to dream about what's in front of you. But I want to see him in with some live guys and not just, you know, these kind of refeed opponents that Top Rank uses.
He made his debut in 2021. So it was a 24-year-old debut.
Which is old for a lot of guys who have high level amateur background. Like I made my pro debut. I was 24 or 25, which, I think I was 24.
Yeah, but no, you had a way different background than Carrington.
That's my point. Like, I was starting late to the game. Usually guys with big amateur backgrounds, you know, turn pro at 20, 21, you know? So yeah. Interesting route for him.
Enrique Vivas has fought Eduardo Baez, who is always tough. That was a 10-round majority decision.
I called that fight. That fight was sick. Back and forth. I mean, that was a really, really good fight.
That was 2 years ago. He fought Joette Gonzalez, went the distance with Joette Gonzalez, who is a little shop-worn now.
Yeah, Joette's really good, but he doesn't really stop guys, and he gets into wars with everyone. But again, it's another long fight, taking a lot of punishment.
10 rounds with Ruben Villa in 2019.
Ruben Villa is a very, very slick boxer, very, very talented, someone I actually hold very highly. But that was a number of years ago. Right?
Yeah, this is made for Carrington. Yeah, it was 2019. This is made for Carrington to get a knockout, and for Joe Tess, our guy Joe Tessitore, shout out Joe Tess. Oh, he knocked him out. This is a guy that's never been stopped. Never been stopped, Tim. And that's for Carrington. That's what they're going to do for Carrington. And I like that. I mean, they are moving him. His last fight was his first fight ever on the main portion of ESPN. And now he's fighting once again on the main. He's kicking off the night on ESPN at 11 p.m. in front of the Puerto Rican Day Parade fans, in front of his fans from Brownsville. So they are doing, Top Rank's doing their part in doing what they got to do. Now he's got to get in there with some names.
He keeps performing. That's the thing. Like that last knockout, you know, he's fighting a guy who's 18-1, and he's scoring highlight reel knockouts over and over again. So, you know, Top Rank is being like, all right, well, let's keep putting him in. I mean, it's working. So,
well, look at the 126 picture right now. Like, this is kind of like the knock on Top Rank. It's like they can get a fighter to a certain point, and if they don't really have anyone in their stable, then they it's hard for them to go outside of that. Luis Alberto Lopez is the IBF champion. He's signed with Top Rank. Lee Wood is, I'm pretty sure, a free agent. Ray Vargas, toiling. Nick Ball is with Matt Queensberry. WBA champion Figueroa's with PBC. Rafael Espinoza's with Top Rank. He's fighting June on that Teofimo card. Ray Ford, Rebessi Ramirez. Like, there's actually a lot of options for Bruce Carrington inside of Top Rank if they really want to push this kid even more, because he's 27 and he's very good. So they could do that. That is it for this weekend. We will be watching. I might be attending. It's time, Chris, to get to the voicemails. This is not something we do often on the show, but we have a phone number for you to call us. I get a lot of questions like, how can we be on the show? The mailbag is fun, but how do we actually be on the show? But you can do so by calling 631-403-0859. You can call anytime. I don't get the alerts. They go right to the Google thing. Sometimes they go to Chris's phone. So if Chris answers in the middle of the night, ask him a question about boxing. Ask him a hot take. I'm sure he would love that.
Chris will not answer the phone. Chris never answers the phone.
I don't think I've ever called you. I think I just usually text you. All right, Chris, first voicemail. Here it is, our guy Charlie Quinn.
What's going on, guys? First time caller. Charlie Quinn, cover MMA, cover boxing a bit. Love what you guys do, first of all. You guys have been killing it. The numbers are through the roof. Absolutely dominate the scene. I got a hot take. I have a feeling that, you know, Amir Khan, you know, he says he's going to come back. I have a feeling he's going to come back and knock out KSI, you know, the rival of Logan Paul, Jake Paul. He's going to have time together with Logan. I have a feeling he's going to knock out KSI before the year ends. And I was wondering what your opinion on Shakur Stevenson is. How do you think he matches up against Javonte Davis in the future? And, you know, what really...
I'm cutting him off. All right, so his first question was KSI. This isn't exactly our lane, but have you seen this? That Amir Khan is going to be boxing KSI.
I did not see that.
And I think at like a really, like a 200 pounds.
I mean, I don't know where, bro. I don't know where Amir would be. I mean, all those, I'm telling you right now, all these welterweight guys, like I'm around all these retired guys now, like my peers, they're all huge. Like they're so big.
Like 200 is not that much. Like if you were, like,
no, it's not that much at all.
If you're retired and you fought at 147 years ago, like Khan, you actually fought the man. And you blow up to like 180, which is like pretty much a normal walking around weight for Americans. And then you add like 20 more pounds. I don't know.
Yeah, meanwhile, like I'm still 165. So I don't know. I'm fat, like for me. Like, so I don't know. These guys, it's crazy how much these guys cut weight. I don't know. That's why I always said I was never a welterweight. People are like, oh man, like you. I'm like, no, those guys are all way bigger than me. I just, you know, had to go up there to make more money.
Bro, Amir Khan should destroy KSI.
Yes. Wait, the speed doesn't go anywhere. He's still got
it. Like, I'm shocked that KSI is taking this fight. Like, just fight Jake Paul. Like, Jake Paul, the Tyson fight, I don't know if it's ever going to happen. Jake Paul needs to fight KSI. Now, this isn't our lane per se, but like, I think Amir Khan's going to wash KSI. I'm surprised that they're doing that from KSI standpoint. Like the thing with influencer boxing is they always say is like, we actually make the fights happen. Boxing doesn't. Well, you can't say that anymore because boxing is making every fight possible. And you guys can't even make a fight between Jake Paul and KSI, which is a clear, that's like the Pacquiao Mayweather of influencer boxing. And it hasn't been made yet. And I think that has to happen this year. So thanks Charlie for that call. Let's get to this guy, Chris, who has.
No, he also was asking about Shakur and Davis.
Oh. I think we talked about that so much on the show. Like, I think Tank wins.
I don't know about that. I think I mean, there's an argument for both ways, and I think we've probably covered them on the show many times.
I'll text you, Charlie, because I know Charlie. He does good work for Fight Sports. Here's a question directly for you, Chris.
Here, just had a quick question regarding the Pacquiao fight, which I ironically was watching very recently. You always had a great jab and great in and out footwork, like Manny actually, but Manny was notorious for taking away guys' jab with a counter right hook. You would slip and then counter with a right hook. For you, just from your personal opinion, was it more the counter right hook or was it the straight left hand counter that kept you from jabbing as much as you would like? Just curious. Thanks, man.
Great question. Actually, I have a very specific answer, and it was he nailed it. It was a straight left hand in the very first round. Pacquiao, I don't know if this was by design, you know, by his team or whatever. He hit me right in my damaged eye immediately. The very first jab I threw, I think it was, he threw a straight left hand down the pipe that hit only that eye that was injured in the Prodnikov fight. And I remember getting hit with that and being like, and it felt like my eye swelling. I was like, here we go again. Right away. It was the first moment of the fight. It was like he was targeting that eye, but I mean, I felt full on knuckle into the eye. Thank God I had Stitch Duran in the corner. He took care of the eye. And I think I overreacted because I was worried so much about that damaged eye. And I spent my entire camp. I couldn't spar much for that fight because it was so close to the Prodnikov fight. And the eye was very compromised throughout camp. And it was funny. If you actually pay attention during the press tour, there were certain days I would have black eyes and certain days I didn't, because the fractured orbital would, if I was like flying, if I went like changing altitudes, the eye would swell up and bruise throughout camp. If I slept the wrong way, it would swell up. So the eye was very, very compromised throughout the camp. And it's just funny that, or maybe not funny, maybe it was very much by design, but Pacquiao cracked me with a straight left hand immediately in round number one with my jab. And it was very, very much on my brain throughout the fight.
Pretty cool. This guy was watching.
Yeah. Good catch. Cause he didn't use the right hook against me. I was too tall for that. That wasn't that Filipino ice, which is right hook, which he used well for guys to counter over their jab. I was too tall for that. He couldn't hit me with that.
Nice. Hey, last voicemail. Here it is.
Wilder's lost. Kind of closed the book on the current American champions or next champion. Who'd you go with next? Richard Torres, Jared Anderson.
And if fantasy boxing was real, who would you be looking at that late American heavyweight pick? Would you be taking one of those of Torres or Anderson or someone else? Thank you.
I like that. Pretty much. Like what was,
I didn't really catch the second half of the question. What did he say? So
his first part of the question was that he said if you could invest in one U.S. heavyweight now that Wilder is out of the picture, would it be Torres or Jared Anderson?
I'll tell you right and now, it's not Torres.
Well, it's interesting because I think obviously Jared Anderson is like a blue chip prospect and he has all the tools, but
he's
I worry
about ring problems. Yeah,
right. I worry about above the shoulders, and we're making an investment, right? We're investing in this guy's future. We're investing millions in this guy's future.
But Torres is too small.
Well, that's the thing. But Torres, like, he seems like he's got his head on straight. He makes a lot of TikToks. That's how he spends his free time, or he's making TikToks. Jared Anderson's going on high speed chases.
Smart kid too, really smart kid.
Right. I love Torres. In terms of like his makeup, but. Haven't seen him in there with a live body. It was his last fight was against a step up, and he got him out of there. I like Torres' movement. I like his power. I like his speed. The size is definitely a
big
factor,
big
considering
issue.
We're in the era of the super freaking heavyweights, the big boys. Who even Usyk, who's considered small, would have been a monster in the late 60s, early 70s. With that being said, I roll the dice and I take the risk. With Jared Anderson, I get someone to watch him 24/7. If you're investing all that money, you're investing all that money, invest in like some type of babysitter. And who knows? Also, like, this guy made mistakes. He's going to learn from them. Like, he'll get older. We all get older. That's a fact. And maybe he will not want to do that. And maybe he will say, hey, there is so much money in this sport as a heavyweight. I should probably stay on the straight and narrow and reached my highest potential. Second part of the question is, I don't know because I can't find it. It gives you, this kind of cool. It gives you it transcribes it. That guy. I don't know the second part of the question. Sorry. We're actually get to that next time. But that is our show. That is the voicemails. You can call at any time. 631-403-0859. Every once in a while, we will do some voicemails. It's a great way for you to interact with us.
Hey, people listening, let's get more of these. These are fun. You guys, and we say it all the time. You guys are amazing listeners, and you're very, very intelligent.
Well, that one question about like the technical aspects of you versus Pacquiao.
Yeah, very
like,
cool.
Insane. That's so cool. And then that was a fun one with Torres and Anderson because it's
good question.
It's a really tough
thought provoking questions.
Well, I didn't get your answer. Who would you invest in?
Jared, definitely.
Yeah.
I'll take talent and size any day. Even, you know, listen, we've had a lot of out of the ring troubles, especially with heavyweights throughout the years, especially American heavyweights. You know, like Riddick Bowe, Michael Moore, Mike Tyson, all guys that got into a lot of trouble outside of the ring. All yes. Super talented, all great heavyweight champions. I just don't see Richard Torres becoming a world champion. So,
and those are just some of the stories you hear about.
Right,
like you don't know about some of these. Like, I grew up, you were around fighters your whole life. I grew up around fighters too at a young age.
Guys, we're all nuts.
Nuts.
We're all nuts.
Nuts.
Like, self-destructive human beings. Literally, self-destructive human beings. Absolutely crazy. A lot of law bending, to say the least. You know,
a lot of partying. Like, I remember
a lot of partying.
Just growing up around it, my dad telling me stories and just being
drugs, drinking, driving, illegal activities, carrying around guns, beating people up. All of these things under it's part of the game.
Sounds like a Friday night for me in high school.
Sounds like growing up in Huntington, Long Island.
Yeah, some parts of Long Island you could see that. All right, good show. I hope everyone has a great weekend. Enjoy the fights if you're watching. Enjoy the weather is getting great. And if you're gonna bet, use DraftKings. If you're gonna watch the fights next weekend, we'll be in Las Vegas. Use PPV.com.
Well, I'm excited for next weekend.
Woo! Yeah, Vegas, baby. Next, we'll have an episode on Monday, and then we'll be in Las Vegas for a bunch of stuff. Live shows from the weigh-in, live shows on Thursday. We're working on some really cool guests, working on great content. Going to be interviewing Tank, going to be interviewing Benavidez, going to be hanging out. We're going to go out to Barry's Prime. It's that time.
Have to
get my outfits ready. It's that time. All right, everybody, enjoy the weekend. Protect yourselves at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. We out. Stay those DMs.
T Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.